and we have Steve Jolly on the line, and he is a councillor for Yarra. Morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Up and early, fresh in the morning, eh? Leafleting?
Well, I work in the construction industry, so this is well into my working day.
So, how's the campaign going so far?
Yeah, it's been good. We've been out there working very hard. The voting started 2 days early.
Yes.
2 days ago, I should say. You can vote for a month now before the polling day at the polling booth next to the Detroit police station. And we've been working hard amongst those people who've been getting left behind in the inner city, the poor.
Yes.
Who have been squeezed out. It's very expensive, of course, to live now in the inner city. And in the middle of this development sort of frenzy, the poor are being pushed out of the inner city, and that's the main theme that we're running on, is to make the necessary changes to ensure that that stops.
And that also brings up the idea of housing. And I always am fascinated as to what councils are doing about housing, because housing is usually a state or a federal issue. But councils...
There's a lot they can do that they're not doing. And at the moment, I'm worn out with eight right-wing, you know, essentially right-wing councillors. What we want to do is, if we get a majority of the socialists, is first of all, use councils on used buildings, like the ones next to Collingwood Town Hall and others as well, and turn them into... you know, emergency accommodation for victims of domestic violence, low-cost housing, offices for NGOs in the area that are currently struggling to pay the rents and so on. That's the first and quick and easy thing we can do. The second thing we can do is change the local planning scheme so that every large development, like the one right next door to your building at 3CR right now,
yes,
is forced to have a percentage, a minimum percentage of low-cost housing.
Yes.
In the building. So it's not just yuppie apartments.
Yes.
And the third thing is obviously to wage a political campaign in the community against the state government's policy of basically not spending any more money on public housing. That has to change. And we've got 30 to 40,000 people on the waiting list. There's a massive demand for public housing.
Yes.
Those who are in it don't find that the maintenance and the refurbishments are deadly slow.
Yep.
So they're the three things that immediately can make a huge difference to housing, which, as you correctly pointed out, is the main issue.
Yeah,
and the also lack of housing, the lack of affordable housing. That's
exactly. I was just going to say that the rent is so high that people can't afford to pay the rent and eat. You've got to choose one or the other, and that's the other big issue, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, you know, years ago, Collingwood, Fitzroy, it was where uni students lived in shared houses.
Yes.
You very, very rarely get that now, because even on that basis, it's super expensive. And what you find is a lot of people have moved to the northern suburbs, you know, further north, further to the north, where it's a little bit cheaper. So we want to start a conversation on top of those three things that I mentioned before about the need for rent control. And we've got it in Berlin. We've got it in certain parts of the United States.
Yes.
And there's got to be a limit, like there is at the moment with public housing, where rents cannot be any more than 25% of your income. With social housing, it's higher, it's 33%. But we really think that that has to happen. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't matter how many houses we build, they're just for investment properties and lying idle, or they're just affordable by people who are wealthy.
Yeah, and all the negative gearing and the negative gearing bit kicks in as well. So that makes it even harder for people to get any housing.
The Age reported last year that for every homeless person in Melbourne, there are three empty apartments in Melbourne.
I mean, it's
disgraceful.
Yes.
We've got a country the size of the continent of Europe with a population of tiny Holland. And the fact that we've got a housing crisis is the biggest indictment of capitalism.
Absolutely.
I can think of, you know.
So tell me, how is it going on the council? Because you've got Greens. Greens won their council position initially at the Yarra Council, didn't they? And so you're able to work with the Greens to achieve some of these things you're talking about?
The Greens are hopeless. I mean, you know, 12 years on, we've got, like, just for example, even with cycling, which is one of their core issues, all we've got in Yarra is one dedicated bicycle lane. It's the smallest one in the world. It's from Gibbs Street in Collingwood to Alexander Parade. To Victoria Parade. Less than 500 metres. We've got the Liberals in Melbourne Council have done more on cycling than the so-called Greens on Yarra Council. So the Greens... flatter to deceive. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And therefore, it's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah.
And I think people now want the real deal. They want more socialists, not people pretending to care for the community who actually don't do anything once they get into power.
And on that, what's the community support behind you been like?
Did you hear the chief?
Community support? Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the last election I got the highest vote in Victoria. The one before I got the highest in Yarra.
You did too. You got what, 34%?
Wow. So we've been working very, very strongly with the community. For example, with a massive campaign that we led to stop the East-West Tunnel campaign, with the picketing campaign 3 and then 2 and 1 year ago. On the public housing estates, we've been working really closely with the residents' associations on Fitzroy, some of the strongest and militant public housing residents' association in Victoria. But out in the community, there are dozens of groups that have been established to stop inappropriate development of developers moving in, 10, 20 stories in two-story areas with no social support, no services for them, for these residents, for these little matchbox apartments. So this is one of the most engaged areas in Victoria. The people are extremely active, so there's no end of support. The vast majority of people who are helping my campaign, by the way, are not, you know, members of a socialist group or self-declared socialists, but they're just highly active locals who want change on council and think that real change in council could mean a big difference in their lives.
Mm. And you've been part of the campaign, though. You initially won in 2004, wasn't it? In the 90s, you were involved in the secondary. Yeah. So you started off with the Richmond Secondary College from the 90s, and you went on to become councillor in your last council election. You got 34% in 2012, and that's extremely, you know, celebratory percentage, as far as I'm concerned, for a socialist. It's fantastic. It's all your hard work. So in this election campaign, your main focus has been housing, and I also noticed that you have been very supportive of the CUB workers, those who are on strike.
Well, it's the biggest workplace in Yarra. You know, and for years, if you worked at CUB, it was like a job for life for whoever in that family was lucky enough to work there. They had 35% leave loading. They got a subsidized canteen, very, very strong union conditions and wages. And yeah, as I say, it was a permanent job.
Mm.
And for those people to be attacked, 55 maintenance workers, and told that they want to have their jobs back, to 65% pay cut. I mean, if you're on $1,800 a week, like a construction worker is roughly, that means a pay reduction down to $630.
Mm.
It's devastating for a family.
Mm. Absolutely.
And especially when the company's not in dire straits. We're not talking about the car industry here. We're talking about beer.
Mm.
They made $4.5 billion profit last year.
That's right.
The CEO's on $7,000 an hour. That's how much money he's on. $1.1 million a week.
Sure.
And they treat these people like dirty old rags. So that the community is very supportive of the CUB workers, and they force the council to do the right thing and give them the relevant permits and support that they need. And I'm really hopeful that these guys eventually will win and get their jobs back, you know, and this will be a huge boost to the trade union movement and to workers generally if that happens.
And it's also now become a very significant part of that council, and it has an impact on the council elections too, as far as I can ascertain. Would that be right?
What does, sorry?
This is the CUB campaign, and this jobs for the CUB workers who were sacked.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's important because people look at that and they go, well, if they can do it to these guys who are in a strong union, in a traditionally strong workplace, you know, union-wise, what hope have I got if I'm flipping a burger in Collingwood or make, you know, a barista in Fitzroy?
Kentucky Fried Chicken or whatever, Yeah. Makes it very difficult. So the council's very supportive of this action by the workers, which is good to see.
Well, I mean, they've agreed to give them the relevant permits for their picket line and so on. I mean, they would have done it anyway, with or without permits.
Yep.
But it does make life a little bit easier when you're not getting fined by a council for the having the temerity to you know, carry out your rights of free speech and mobilisation.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so, I wouldn't say supportive. Like, I haven't been successful in, for example, in getting the council to give them money, but they have at least agreed to, I've got all the councillors to agree to support them with the permits and so on. But more important than that is the community support they have. They've got people dropping down there all the time from the public housing estate. There's one guy in particular, Ugly, he calls himself, who's a pensioner, who gives a large proportion of his pension every week to those picketers, and it's always on that picket line, and it's just beautiful.
Amazing.
To see that kind of solidarity.
Yeah, it's a fear of, you know, as you said, they can do it a strong union. What more for weaker workers and unions that are around? They would be just smashed. No question about it. All right. So if there's anything else you want to say to listeners about your campaign, and, you know, hopefully they'll vote for you.
Well, I mean, if anyone wants to help the campaign, it's a very exciting campaign in any way, shape, or form, financially, help them today or help with the pre-polling or letterbox. They can just contact 3CR and leave the details, and I'll get it off there.
Absolutely, that sounds absolutely great. Thank you for being available at this time of the morning, Steve, and good luck with your campaign.
All the best of luck to you.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, Steve, bye.